This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, family. This morning, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I am to announce to us the beginning of the month of prophecy, the season of prophecy, and the season of their manifestation. The Holy Spirit said to me clearly, since last week, Wednesday, He said, the old wells are drying up. He said, go forth and build new ones that men may drink. He said, the old rivers are drying up. Go forth and do elbow capture. Do elbow capture that you might recharge the old rivers with new waters. This morning, by the grace of God, I'll be sharing with us, God's time is now. God's time is now. Oftentimes, as believers, we believe in waiting. In fact, for many of us, it has become a mantra. I'm waiting for God's time. I'm waiting for God's time. When God's time shall come, oh, I'm waiting for God's time. It is not every one of us that is waiting for God's time. There are some that God will tell specifically, this and this and this are the seasons that I want you to move and do things. But for somebody that is just waiting without any instruction, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting because you are fearful? Are you waiting because you just have no idea what to do? Are you saying you are waiting for God's time, but you don't even know what God's time looks like? Because I've seen, not among men, I have seen in the place of the Spirit, in the place of prayer, a lot of things, a lot of milestones that many ought to have crossed, that they ought to have achieved, that they keep waiting and they didn't achieve them. And that is not because God did not give them the power to achieve them. It is because they are under this illusion that there is something to wait for. The Lord showed me a vision. And I saw a huge mountain. From afar, it was a huge mountain. A mountain that I was like, oh, let me walk over there and climb it and see if I can see what lays ahead. When I got to this mountain, I saw that there were so many different patterns to the rock formation. It wasn't the usual mountain. It was made up of different materials. So many different materials, like putting together 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 different materials and then heaping them into a mountain, like a mountain of rubbish. But it's not rubbish. So I can only describe it that way. I know, while I'm just now, as I was speaking, I remember there was this place in Lagos called Olusosun, where they gather majority of Lagos waste, and they just piled them up. So it formed an artificial mountain. And they were piling them until the whole valley was filled up, and then they began to rise up. But that was how this mountain felt like an artificial mountain, not a natural mountain. So I wanted to start climbing it. I began to see that these materials were like gifts, like a pile up of so many decorated presents or gifts. There are so many. There will be like millions if you look at all these boxed gifts. But let's say they are just piling them up in one place until they form a huge mountain, a mountain that you can look at and think, oh, I can climb it. But when I got there, I realized that if I step on this gift, I'm going to ruin them. So I couldn't climb the mountain. But it was a puzzle to me. It's like, why do we have so many great gifts unopened, piled up like a mountain? And the Lord says to me, these are provisions, unclaimed provisions by those who are waiting. He said, many of them do not have watchmen to direct them to the place where they would collect it. And many of them are totally ignorant of the fact that I have prepared ahead of them this great gift. And he said, and many are empty-handed, hungry, scavenging, searching for sustenance, not knowing that all that I have for them is here. And I said, Lord, how do we bridge the gap? How do we get these things? And the Lord said, oh, it's a question of time. The Lord said to me, and I say it to you the way he said it to me. I'll say it directly as he said it. He said, I know that while you are walking on earth, in your sojourn on earth, that you are time bound. Therefore, I want you to achieve as many things as possible in the flesh before you come back to me. I do not want you wasting the whole of your life in pursuit of little things. There are great things that I've set ahead of you. I want you to achieve them. He said, where you stop, others will continue. If you do little, others will have to start from way behind. So let's say each of us, we are supposed to do like 10,000 things. And then you do 200. It means the person that will take over from you will start from 200. But let's say I did my 10,000. Then the person that will take over from me will start from 10,000. And that means there will be advancements. He said, many are waiting. Ask them, what are they waiting for? Are they waiting for me? For I am time. I am the one that giveth time. I am the one that ruled over time. Are they waiting for me? Or are they waiting to gain their confidence? Are they waiting to renew their strength? Are they waiting for sustenance? Are they waiting for their friends? Are they waiting for the sake of sentiment? What are they waiting for? And for the past 1 week, I've ruminated on that experience. Even for me, I've changed the way my approach to many things. Because there are some things that I put on my waiting list that I wanted to do maybe in the next two, three. I said that I'm going to do them right away. I'm not going to put anything on hold till tomorrow. Why? Because the earlier I do this, the earlier I get to the next thing to do. I know some of us have been waiting for 2 years, waiting for 4 years. Life is passing on by. We stopped at this particular junction and we have not moved on from it. I know some whose desire is to get married As a result of that, they did not move on with life to achieve other things. I know some who has this fixation about having children. And because the child has not come, they do not move ahead to achieve other things. They allowed one desire to handcuff them, to dominate their preeminence thoughts. They allowed it to stop them from conquering all the territories that God has given unto them. I'm saying to you, my brothers, my sisters, if the Lord has given you a word or an instruction in the past that you have not achieved yet, in this month of prophecy, speak them forth again. Awake the old prophecies. Begin to speak them forth. Begin to frame your aeon by the word of your mouth. If the Lord has given you a business idea 10 years ago, but you didn't pursue it, but you have done other things, or you are waiting for other things, and you've given up on that dream, call it forth again. As at when the Lord gave it to you, it was ready to be collected, to be received. Some of us will limit ourselves with the mindset of waiting. I know people who waited. Waited in a world where even they know that they are time bound. I spoke with a young lady once. It was one of the most confusing discussions I ever had with anyone that has a brain. We were having a conversation, and then she wrote to me and she said, "Lagbenga, God told me to wait. And I began to wait from the age of 24. And now I'm 40. That'll be 16 years. And God has not fulfilled this promise." And I said, "What was the promise?" She said, "God said he will give me a husband and he will give me my 3 children. I said, "You waited at your most productive years. You didn't." I said, "Did you meet people that wanted to marry you?" She said, "Yes." "How many?" She said, "At least in a year that is not very good, she will meet 2. Some years, 3. I said, "So why didn't you get married?" She said, "I didn't hear the voice of God again. He said I should wait, so I waited." In fact, the word she used, I just didn't want to put it in that carnal term, was that I became celibate at 24 because I was waiting for God to give my husband so I can settle in my home. And so I became celibate at 24. And I said, "Okay, did you meet people that wanted to marry you?" She said, "Yes." And she began to count. She met people from all walks of life. Met a doctor, met a lawyer, met a musician, met a teacher, met somebody that was abroad. In fact, 2 people abroad. Met somebody that were attending the same church. Met somebody that was attending a different church. So she counted and counted. I said, "Why didn't you get married?" She said, "Oh, well, God told me to wait, so I waited. So when they were coming, I would ask God, 'Is this the person?' And then God didn't say anything. So that's why I know that when the person comes, God will speak." And I said, "And you wasted? You think God is happy to see you just throw away 16 years of your life? And now at 40, you are tired of waiting. You are thinking of going to do IVF to have children." I said, so now at 40, you are now going to do what? Do IVF? Because if God do not give me a husband, at least I should be able to harvest my eggs and have children." And I said, who are your coaches? Who are your pastors? Are you reading the scriptures? Do you understand that the appointed time is now? I'm begging many of us. It is true that some of us work according to time. Let me say it again. Not all of us, some of us, a very few. And those of us who work according to time are already hearing from God clearly and had already been told by God when and when and when. So it is not like we are guessing or we are just waiting. I'm waiting for something to just happen. I know something will happen. I'm waiting. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. The declaration of God that you must be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and have dominion and take over. That declaration has given you a mandate to go ahead and fulfill all your pursuits in God by the Spirit. The very day the disciples received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, there was no looking back again. It was Jesus that told them to wait. Jesus said, wait until you receive the promise of the Father. When you look at scripture, please situate it. Wait until you receive the promise of the Father. He said, when you receive, when he, the Holy Ghost, shall come, he shall lead you, teach you. He shall guide you into all truth. How can anyone who is full of the Holy Ghost be paralyzed in one spot for 20 years? Not achieving anything. Saying he or she is waiting. What are you waiting for? Your waiting does not glorify God in any way. I mean that. God is a doing God. I can imagine myself waiting. I'll still be doing PA. Or maybe they will have sacked me. That's the truth. I will still be. I know some of my colleagues there, they are still there, waiting. Every time we speak, I'll ask, what are you doing now? We are waiting. We are waiting for divine direction. And the air is already turning white. The hair on the head turning white. People that I met who are in their early 40s, when I met them, they are now turning into 50s. People that I met when they are in their 30s are now becoming 40s. And they are still there. Even the church that employed all of us at the time was a provincial headquarters at the time, has now become a regional headquarters. The church did not wait. The church grew. The church, a non-living entity, the church that employed me as a PA in 2014, has evolved from being a provincial headquarters into a regional headquarters now. So the church grew. It grew in status. It grew in people. Grew in finances. The church that was in one spot, it was rebuilt, was remodeled. When you sit down, you say, wow, if I tell you, I used to work. Oh, and the people there did not grow. No, that is not the plan of God. If you have to wait, maybe you are trusting God to have a child. That is out of your hand. You have done everything you can, and then the Lord says, wait, I understand that. That one is out of your hand. Oh, but you are looking for a job. You are waiting for 5 years. You are waiting for 4 years. You are saying God will come through. Please, start a business. Go and do, what do they do? Is it apprentice or they go to these places and go and put yourself into the system one way or the other. That's what I mean. I have a sister in one of these foreign European countries. I don't want to mention the country, but some of us here may know her. She got to the country and she got a job as a cleaner. But when she was in Nigeria, she was doing well as a she was an executive, doing well. She did banking. After that, she worked with some other top government power startups. But she got to the country, she was going and she couldn't get a job, so she began to clean. 1 year went by, 2 years went by. Said she had applied to 100+ places. I said, what? When I went to Europe, I saw her. I said, what are you doing? Said, I'm trusting God. I said, you better stop it. You have more than enough capacity. By now, you should have mastered the system in Germany. You should have mastered the system here by now. You have spent 2 years in a system, you should have mastered it. Now you have to introduce your own ideas to this system. You are waiting for to get something in the system that no. Introduce your own ideas. You have your own ideas. There's nothing wrong. There's a system that is working. It's like you have a car. It's already a built system. But you can introduce a new light, a new front light to your car. You can introduce a new radio. You can always improve on what the white man gave you. But that you are just waiting for an opening, 2 years cleaning, no. We had a serious discussion. I told her, no. It's unacceptable for you to say you are. I do not want to hear it. The next time you call me, tell me that you are already doing something. Time is going. And she heard me. And she developed this system. They already had a very good waste disposal system in that community. So it wasn't as if she was introducing something that they didn't have. But she improved. She improved on the system, on the digitalization of the system. She came up with a unique idea, went to their city center, introduced it. The mayor met with her. They had a discussion. They gave her a percentage of it. She gave them the software. And now she has conquered the community, conquered two. Now they are introducing it to other communities. Some other municipal areas are already accepting it and integrating it into their system. And the more people that use that system, the richer she becomes. Every time she will come in, she'll be screaming, Brother Gwenga, thank you. You are the one that pricked me. You are, because it is no use waiting. You have a good voice, you can sing. You are waiting. I know somebody who waited for years. And then by the time she released her first album, the voice was gone. You hear the voice, you are like, oh, this voice used to be glorious when it was youthful. But age will happen to all things. And therefore, you must take advantage of the strength you have in your youth. Except for those of us who the Lord specifically told to wait. If you are waiting, you are deluding yourself. Oh, I know strong words, but I'm telling you straight. Because while you are waiting, you are doing something. We do not wait idle. God doesn't want any of us to be idle. So even though he's saying, oh, there's a big break. You know, I was having a discussion with my younger brother a few days ago, and he was talking about some business ideas he had years ago, and he said they didn't pan out. And I told him, no. Because I've known God. I've worked with him. God will tell me to do some things. He will tell me, like, do this. I'll be unable to do it because I don't have the capacity. Then he will give me another one. I'll be unable to do it because I don't have the capacity. Then he'll give me another one. I'll be unable to do it because I don't have capacity. Then he will give me a simple one. Then I'll start the simple one because I have the capacity. That one will grow. And then that one will now give me the strength, connection, finances to do the second one and then to do the third one. Before I know it, I will have done all 10. So I told him, I said, those old ideas, don't throw them away. No. As you are growing in strength now, you begin to then integrate them into it one by one. And you realize that he gave you the strongest first. But that does not mean that those are ideas that you cannot achieve. I speak to you, brethren. Why are you waiting? Except there's an express instruction to wait. God is a doing God. There is a timeline, a time limit for all of us that draw breath. No matter how filled with the Holy Ghost we are, no matter how anointed we are, there is a time limit. I was reading the story of Hagbey Robinson in Dausa, as written by his deputy. I didn't read it in a book. They interviewed the man in the newspaper, so it was a newspaper article, old newspaper article. And the man said, Archbishop does not wait. Archbishop will buy a ticket and travel to countries that didn't invite him. He said he visited 115 countries in his lifetime, but he was only invited to 15. He said, Archbishop will wake up and say, I'm going to Malaysia. He will go by himself. And he will go there, go to a church, introduce himself to the church. How? I'm going to Haiti. He will go to Haiti, find the biggest church, go there, introduce himself. That he didn't wait for people to know him. That Archbishop would get on a plane and travel, that was how he was able to cover 115 countries. And that his influence grew because he didn't wait. Other people will sit down and say, I'm waiting for people to invite me. I'm waiting for a letter of invitation. I remember Jerry Savile. Years ago, I was listening to him on TBN. He said, oh, he sat at home, he was waiting, and then somebody invited him to him also, that now he has three or four people. Yes, that the Lord told me that. What was he waiting for? You are full of the Holy Ghost, you are anointed. Why are you sitting down saying one day they will discover me? You are already discovered. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I'm going to close with a testimony, a beautiful testimony that happened yesterday. There's a Christian sister, a pastor in Canada. She read that to me on Twitter. A mother of seven, a widow, a mother of seven. Two of those children were sickle cellers. She said when she was married off to her husband was 68 and she was 22. So she was in Nigeria, husband was in Canada, and the husband in Canada, I think the first wife died. And the people, everybody around felt, so the man should remarry. He's alone. Nobody was taking care of him. So they came to Nigeria to find him a wife. And then she went to Canada to be with the man. And at 68, they got married. And she had, in 8 or 9 years, she had seven children for this man. By the time the man would die, she was left with seven children, two properties, and life. Now, after the man, by the time the man was dead, she was in her 30s, maybe 38, 37, 38. And she read that to me and she said, Rabinga, I know that my late husband left me with a lot of work. So that I can focus on children. That was why I kept getting me pregnant, so I can focus on children after he's gone. Okay. But I want to be married. I want to have a husband of my own. That one was the one that was married for me. I want to have a husband of my own. I'm not going to say because I have seven children, I cannot get a husband. Pray for me, pray with me. And I told her, I said, I have two conditions for you. I pray for you. You will not wait. You will not say, I'm waiting for one. Once I pray for you, you go out there, you'll get your husband. She said, yeah. I said, yes. I said, okay. So I prayed with her. And once in a while, we'll chat, we'll talk. And yesterday, she sent me her invitation. She was getting married in July. She met her husband. She met him on Facebook, a widow, father of three, 55 years old. And when I read the testimony, I was screaming. I was jumping. Ah! I was laying on the bed when I saw the message. I didn't know when I started speaking in tongues. I started pacing. I started screaming. Ah, my heart was full of joy. Why? Because this is somebody that heard my word and proceeded with all vigor. Said she went to Facebook and she was posting all sorts of declarations from the ministry. She will post them, and then one man will be saying amen. Amen. One day she reached out to the man and said, thank you for consistently saying amen. And the man said, well, can I get to meet you? And that was how they met. And suddenly now they are getting married. I was saying, like, what? Our declarations? Glory! But that is what it means to go out there, not to sit down and give you songs of lamentation and say, nobody has found me, nobody has discovered me, nobody came for me. Ha! And time will go. No. In this season of prophecy, we will say it, we will pursue it, we will apprehend it, we will manifest it. There's going to be a complete circle by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, because your church is blessed. Your children are the better for the word they have heard. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, Glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.